imagination. If you or your kids watched SpongeBob SquarePants growing up, you remember the imagination rainbow he would make with his hands. He'd put up his small sponge hands, move them in a semicircle shape in the air, and say, "Imagination," just like that. If a sponge living in a town called Bikini Bottom, whose best friend is a dumb starfish, doesn't sound like the creation of someone with a good imagination, I'm not sure what does. As kids, our imaginations are vast and colorful. As adults, we tend to shove them to the side. Imaginations are for children, not for us. We can't afford to daydream. Using our imaginations isn't necessarily daydreaming, though I'm not knocking either. Our imaginations create new worlds and scenarios we can't see in the physical world with the limited capabilities we have. But don't be fooled. This isn't entirely our fault. Society and culture shape how we see imagination and how we respond to the imaginations of others. And can we please try to remember, just because someone thinks differently than you doesn't mean what they think is wrong. The same can be said of imagination. May C. Jemison said, "Never limit yourself because of others' limited imagination. Never limit others because of your own limited imagination." Oftentimes, we must stretch our minds a little further to achieve a desired result. This can look like anything. Drawing a diagram of how we get from point A to point B, suggesting a new restaurant in which to eat, taking a few moments to analyze a problem before allowing emotion to overwhelm us. Just because it doesn't sound magical doesn't mean our imaginations aren't working. My guest Angela Ferrari speaks into this. She helps us to better understand why some adults may see imagination as an excuse to be weird or not get any work done. But when you're an artist, your imagination is your number one asset. It is the only space in your entire world that allows you the freedom and space to do and see and feel and be however you want, without judgment. Our imaginations are what make us individually beautiful and fascinating. I have been known to watch a good old Disney movie in my spare time. Angela and I were reminiscing about films like The Fox and the Hound or Homeward Bound and all the emotions that came with those films we barely understood as kids.
Shadow!
Even as we age, those emotions are tightly wound up in what we think and feel when we watch those movies or hear those stories. I also wanted to know how imagination plays out in Angela's daily life. What does she do to keep the magic flowing?
For me, I was a big fan of watching music videos and dancing. I loved seeing all the outfits. I loved the beats. It was so fun for me to watch. And I was for a while trying to find how can I in my daily life participate somehow in this. I know I'm not going to be on TV dancing, but I want to express this. I want to be as close as I can to this. So I would try on different outfits in my room in front of my mirror and dance privately. I'd be totally ashamed if anyone had walked in and seen me do this. But I, in my head, was in these music videos doing these moves. And then one day I found this studio near my house, a dance studio. And I started going to hip hop dance classes there and found my own little dance crew of these adults, a lot of working women, parents, people that are from all different backgrounds, all ages around Portland that have day lives, day jobs, but they come here and in this space, we're all dancers in a music video. So that's been something that I've gotten to participate in and use my imagine that way, very much in an adult space too. And that's been really given me so much freedom. And it's just for me. It's just fun. There's no rhyme or reason to it. It's okay though. I love it so much. The other thing I like to do when I get together with friends and family, I love to play board games. I love the games with word puzzles that are up to the person's interpretation because it exposes them. You get to see what kind of humor, or what kind of dirty mind this person has, or what kind of wild imagination they have. That I don't know what other conversation you could have that would bring it out of them so quickly and so openly. So that's another thing I love to do. Again, it's like that imagination icebreaker. I like to see that happen in social gatherings. Right, because you know what it means to you, but once you put something out there, you have no idea how people are going to take it and what hidden meanings they're going to bring to it based on their own experiences. So it takes on a life of its own once you release it out there.
One of the aspects of imagination that fascinates me is what Angela mentioned earlier. As kids, we have these big, colorful ideas about everything. And if we think about it, as adults, it can almost be like a superpower. Because yes, we have a better idea of how the world works, but we can still utilize our childhood thoughts and ideas, harness that energy for other things. What I find exceptionally fascinating is how differently we all perceive the world.
I think for me, it was again going back to childhood, and I loved the books on tape. I loved the fact that I was one of those kids, my hands were always had to be busy. I had to have a craft or something going. So a lot of times I wasn't watching the TV screen. I was listening, or I had a hard time sitting still through the books. Even though I loved them, I could only sit through so many books, but I could listen to stuff for hours, music, radio shows. I guess it was something of a childhood dream that was always inside of me. I can't think of a single tipping point. There's just been all these little things along the way that are like kind of tapping at me saying, you got this. Why don't you try it out? Why don't you do this? So I think it was last November, so a year ago about that, I recorded the first version of a podcast. And the first time I, you know, gave it to a friend and let their kid listen to it, and I heard back from her and she said that my kid listened to this thing 8 times in a row. He's asking for it all the time. That was, I think, the biggest catalyst, biggest motivation that I was like, okay, I've got so many stories in me and maybe this is the way to do it.
It's one thing to get to know the creator through their work, but what about Angela as herself each and every day? What about that person?
The best way to get to know me is to understand why my imagination is the way it is. And I can think of 2 really big reasons for that. And it goes again back to my childhood growing up in rural Maine. I grew up outdoors in the woods. The woods were my jungle gym, and the seasons were always changing. So my jungle gym was always changing. It was a playground outside.